going to be reading in some places he was referring to. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, remember we've been, and I know you probably think that we've gone a long way about this, but I've gone about it for a reason, because there are some people that teaches that there will not be a millennial reign. There will not be a reign of Christ. They do not believe in the reign of Christ. And therefore, when you ask them questions about the kingdom, they come out with all kinds of questions about the kingdom. But what I wanted you to understand was from the very first, there had planned to be a kingdom. And there was a king. And so we've walked it all the way through. We've been walking it through, the king and the kingdom, through the book of Matthew very quickly. Now, people that gets into the study of prophecy, many of them makes a terrible mistake. They try to apply the place where we're at in chapter 24 to the church. And they try to make it all speak to the church age. But you have to understand, the book of Matthew was written about the king and his kingdom. Now remember, if you would, look back in your Bible and notice in verse chapter 24, remember that Jesus come out of the temple after he had told them that it was desolate now. It would no longer be used by God for the purpose in which it was intended. It was desolate. And he would turn from the nation of Israel. And now he would look. And he would come, and he told them as he come out, and he showed them the buildings, and he told them that there would not be one stone left upon another. Now remember, this was dealing with Israel and the temple. And then, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples come and wanted to know, had a lot of questions about what he was talking about, all in relationship to Israel. Now last week, we went down through verses 4 through verses 8, and we saw that all those things that Jesus mentioned would be taking place, the beginning of sorrows, was things that would be happening in Revelation when the seals was open during the tribulation time in chapter 6. And so there we find they match up. The Antichrist, war, pestilence and famines, and death. And so then we come to verse number 9. Again, unless you see this in eyes of Israel in relationship to the king and the kingdom, you will be confused on prophecy in Matthew 24. But notice if you would in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you, this is during the tribulation time, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, during this time, the tribulation time, when the anger and hatred is turned upon Israel, which a forerunner was in the days of Hitler, not going to be not even hold a light to what's going to happen when the Antichrist. When that happens, there's going to be people's going to be killed, and people's going to be telling on where Jewish people are and going to be giving them up to be killed. And there's going to be some's going to be hiding them and taking them and so forth. We'll talk about that another time. But look, if you would, then in verse number 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. I've heard people try to teach that teaches that you can lose your salvation, that this is talking about us in the church. It's not talking about us in the church. It's talking about Israel in the tribulation time. And if you don't get that in the right perspective, you will lose sight. Verse number 14. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Remember, the disciples want to know, when will the end come? Well, the gospel of the kingdom, notice he doesn't say the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world. Now, this is going to be the task of the 144,000 Jews to preach the gospel of the kingdom at this period of time. Notice in verse 15, again, relating to Israel, the temple, and the things of the temple. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Again, he's referring back to Israel, to what's prophesied in Daniel of Israel. And by the way, Daniel's prophecy relates to the second coming of Christ and Israel and not the church. Now, John has some inclusion of the church. Daniel does not. There's much of John, the Revelation and Daniel can combine in certain things, but then there's some things it doesn't. But here in chapter 9, the Bible speaks, and Daniel speaks in verses 24 through 27, of the time when there would be one that would sit in the temple, declare himself to be God, and it would be abomination of desolation, and the temple would be decimated because of this guy. And so, again, Jesus is telling them that they need to understand what he's talking about. Again, if you try to put this in our age, relating to the church, you can't get the pieces of the puzzle to fit. Again, it's talking to Israel. Look in verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Again, a reference to Israel. In verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Again, this is when the Antichrist declares himself to be God. The false prophet makes an image of the beast. The mark of the beast is initiated. And so therefore, Israel has to flee because of the hatred that's going to be. And chapter 12 of Revelation speaks of the devil standing before the woman, waiting for the man, child to be delivered so he can swallow it up and kill it. And so, again, we find that he's wanting to destroy Israel and the tribes of Israel. The Bible says in verse 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, I've heard people teach everything in the world about that verse. It's very simple if you put it in perspective of what it means. It means when the Antichrist turns his anger and wrath upon Israel, women that are with child, that's going to slow them down from fleeing from the Antichrist, is going to be in great danger. Anything that you got going on that slows you down, if you're in the field, don't go back home, just head out to the mountains God's got prepared and flee to those and hide, because this guy's going to come with all the wrath of the world upon these people of Jews. And you think Hitler was bad, it won't even be in the same conversation. Even though Hitler was able to put 6 million in ovens and gas them and all that kind of stuff, that won't even hold a light to the way this Antichrist is going to come upon Israel. Now, notice if you would in verse number 20. But pray thee that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the what? Again, the Sabbath does not pertain to the church. The Sabbath pertains to Israel. Again, Israel, because of restrictions on the Sabbath day, Jesus tells them, and again, he's relating to issues that's going to relate to Israel during this time. And he says, to flee. Look in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. In other words, this will be the mid part of the week that Daniel foretold of. This will be the mid part of the week that Revelation talks about. This will be in the middle. after 1260 days. This will be after a year and years and half a year. This will be after 3.5 years. This will be after 42 months. All the same thing. In the middle of the 7 years, there will be a great tribulation happen, and it will be Jacob's trouble, because Jacob will be the primary target of this Antichrist. And again, if you cannot relate Israel with the events in chapter 24, you will be completely confused about prophecy that the Bible teaches in Matthew 24. Look on in verse 22. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the what? Elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who's the elect? The elect here he's talking about is Israel. Again, Israel. Some people put the church through the tribulation time. The tribulation is not made for the church. Brother Junior was talking about not understanding the mourning. They're going to mourn when Jesus comes back, because Zechariah says that they're going to look upon whom they have pierced, and they're going to mourn. And look, if you would, in verse 23. The Bible says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And again, Christ, the word Christ is the same thing as the Messiah. He said, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Now remember, John wrote in Revelation chapter 13, that the false prophet that would build an image to the beast, the Antichrist, would make it do miracles and call fire down from heaven, and it would speak and do several things. He says in verse 25, behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, and by the way, who is he? The Messiah. Who's he talking to? Israel. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. In other words, he said, now, during this time of great tribulation and great persecution, that they'll be delivering you up to be killed, you'll have to flee as hard and fast as you can flee. There will be this great desire of you to believe false stories that the Messiah has come, because you'll never see times like you're experiencing during this last great tribulation. And it will be easy to be deceived in believing that someone says, well, the Messiah has come. He said, when you come, you'll see me coming. Now, this is not the rapture. The rapture has done occurred. The catching away has done occurred to the church and saints. This is a tribulation time. Then he goes on and he explains his second advent, his second coming of Israel, when Israel will see him, the one that Brother Junior was talking about. Look in verse number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And again, if you remember, when some of the last vials was open in Revelation before Jesus comes back, it's going to cause the sun to be darkened and moon turn red like blood and different things. And the Bible says here that the heavens shall be shaken. Look in verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now, why the Son of Man? The Son of Man, God the Son, who came as a man and gave his life upon Calvary, that they crucified, they will look upon the Son of Man in whom they have pierced. He will have his body. He will have his nail scars in his hand when he comes. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his what? Elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. In other words, what's going to happen is this. He's fixing to go into the kingdom. He's come. He comes and concludes the battle of Armageddon that we hear about so much. He comes and he judges the nation, we'll see about in the last part of Matthew chapter 25. And he comes and he gathers the nations together before him. But when he comes, angels are going to gather all the elect, all those hiding from the Antichrist, all those that fled into the mountains and fled into the woods. They're going to be gathered together and they're going to be brought back and going to be able to go into this kingdom. But the Bible says that they're going to mourn when they see Jesus. Well, the tribes, the nations of the earth that has gone against Israel, that has taken the mark of the beast and false prophet, it's obvious why they're going to weep and cry. It's obvious why they're going to mourn, because he's going to cast them into hell. And the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And then we find that Jesus is going to call the elect together before him. And so then the Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 24, then he breaks away just a moment and he begins with some parables in 32 on down to 51. And he talks about some parables that we need to be ready, we need to know, we need to be aware of what's going on, and people need to be watchful and knowledgeable about what's going to take place in signs of the times. And he talks about Israel then. He begins with Israel and how that he gives concerning them being unfaithful servants and so forth. And in last part of chapter 24 and first part of 25, we hear a lot of times in chapter 25 the parable of the 10 virgins. And people wants to relate it to the church. And you can relate a truth to it, but it's not pertaining to the church. It's pertaining to Israel during that time and the judgment that's going to fall upon Israel. And there's going to be some, there's going to be a national Israel, there's going to be a spiritual Israel during that time when Christ comes back. Now, he goes on, and then he begins to talk again about, in verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is as a man. He begins to explain that and go through another parable. Then he gets down, and we're going to come back to parables next week that looks at parables that's relating to what we're doing right now in his absence. But let's go on through the book of Matthew. Look, if you would, in chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's talking about the throne in which he's going to reign. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep and the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Now, a lot of people, even this church at one time, when I first came to this church, they used to have what the book's called right now. I went blank on it. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, they abided by the teachings of Jay Pendleton. And Jay Pendleton was, he was of the roots of the, I can't believe I went so blank. This morning, but the United Baptist. And the United Baptist, if you read the roots of the United Baptist and the teachings of the United Baptist, a lot of people that established this church was of the roots of the United Baptist. And the United Baptist looked down upon studying. It also looked down upon anyone, and it believed that there was just going to be, they wanted to spiritualize everything of prophecy, and they visioned that at the end of time, all the lost and saved would be gathered together and stand before God, and the sheep would be the saved ones, go to the right, go to heaven, and the left would be the goats that would go to hell. And they took this verse and tried to teach that. This is not pertaining to this. You can't help when you study the Bible as a whole to understand. There is a judgment of the saved people at a different time than there's a judgment of the lost people. We will see the judgment of the lost, and there's a difference of 1,000 years that those things take place. Also, you'll understand, and you can't teach the Bible as a whole without wanting to spiritualize everything about it and trying to twist it around to try to make, and they did not believe that there was going to be a reign of Christ. And they tried to explain away the reign of Christ. And the roots of this, when I came here, most of the people here, they didn't know why, but they did not believe in the reign of Christ. I said, why? Well, they couldn't tell me no scripture. They couldn't tell me anything about it, other than they just didn't believe there's going to be a kingdom. Then they tried to explain everything away, and every verse that you try to look at, they would try to spiritualize it instead of make it literal. There's always been a promise of a literal kingdom. The kingdom was delayed because of the rejection of Israel. That's what the whole book of Matthew is relating to us. And it's walking us through the rejection. And then also we find that they adopted this. And so what I began to do was this. I said, we're going to teach. And I began to teach upon prophecies. I began to teach upon the kingdom. I began to show different aspects of what they believe. And that you couldn't fit all those judgments into that one judgment. You couldn't explain. If you looked at the goats and the sheep, you can't explain who the brethren are with the concept of saying these are just saved and lost people. You can't understand why, without trying to teach that salvation is by works, that the ones that gets to go into the kingdom are those that have fed and visited and clothed and done all those things to the brethren. And so when you try to make this about salvation, heaven and hell and the last judgment and only one general judgment, and that's what Pendleton taught. And everyone who used his book, including this church, taught in one general judgment, and they wouldn't talk about it. But then they didn't believe in studying a lot. They didn't believe in using notes when you preach. They thought you just bow your head and get the words and jump up and go. And I know, Stuart, you come from some roots of that. I do, and this church did, and different ones of you have. And they still don't get it. And they'll argue with you. Oh, you're one of them educated preachers. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved. And therefore, you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. You've got to compare scripture with scripture. And my friend, when you can't take Genesis and go to the Revelation, have it all fit into one plan of God, then you've missed the boat. And you can say, well, I'm going to whisk away the kingdom. I'm going to whisk away the rapture. Had someone tell me this week, I don't believe in the rapture because the word rapture is not even in the Bible. I said, it's not. The concept of the rapture, the catching away is. And I said, it's definitely in there. And it was a mystery that Paul revealed that Israel, the Old Testament, did not teach and show. They did not understand it in the Old Testament. Because they prophesied the second coming and looking at Jesus. We're looking for Jesus coming to air. They're looking for him come and land his feet upon the Mount of Olives and set upon the throne of David. And it's going to take place. And then after Jesus fulfills the promises of that kingdom on the throne of David, on this earth, and by the way, the Bible makes promises that he will reign on this earth, not on just the new earth. Then after he reigns 1,000 years, and we'll look at the end of it later on, then there will be a new heaven, a new earth, and he will reign forever just as it was promised in the Old Testament. He will, his kingdom will be forever. But there will be a new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem. There will be a new earth, not the old earth. But first, he has to come back and have his kingdom to fulfill scriptures. There are scriptures that cannot be fulfilled in the new earth that has to be fulfilled in this old earth. And Matthew is trying to get the Jews to understand all through his teachings, it's all about the king and the kingdom. And when you try to put the church and cram the church in all this prophecy in chapter 24 and 25 of Matthew, then you do a great injustice because you can't take other scripture and teach it to match it. You have to go into the tribulation time and see it happening during that time. And you have to understand they're no longer preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ as we are today in the church age. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, just what John the Baptist was preaching, just what Jesus was preaching, just what his disciples preached until Jesus rejected Israel because of their rejection of the king. And the delay of the kingdom was put on hold. And we're going to look at some parables next week that shows what happened and how the church age come about in the delay of the kingdom. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 11 and see how that there was a wild branch grafted into the olive tree. The olive tree being Israel, and the wild branch grafted in is the Gentiles. And we're going to look and see that delay of the kingdom allowed for the church age. Now, was it any surprise to God that Israel rejected? He knew they were going to reject him. He wrote about it in the Old Testament. And when Jesus came and John wrote, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them believe upon his name. And that's what we're doing right now. We're believing on his name. We're becoming the sons of God. Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. Now, getting back at this, look if you would, again, chapter 25, and we'll probably won't get in chapter 26 today. Let's just look at 25. Again, those in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, again, he goes back to chapter 24, verses 29 through 31, when he talks about him gathering the angels coming, gathering all the elect up, after he goes through these parables and preparing us, get ready, and also concerning the rejection of Israel. Notice in verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a sheep divideth his sheep from the goats. Verse 33, he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me meat. And I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee and thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. His brethren, he came unto his own brethren was Israel. And this is during the great tribulation. This is those that risked their life because of convictions that they had by the preaching of the kingdom. They believed what they heard. And they risked their life to hide Israel, to feed Israel, to clothe Israel, to protect Israel, and do everything they could to Israel. And Jesus said, this kingdom that's been planned from the very start of the world, now you're going to inherit it because of what you've done here during this tribulation time. Then look on. Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now here he's going to cast them. He said, go into hell. Now, and by the way, can you take the first part of that and explain how visiting the sick, or visiting the brethren, clothing the brethren, feeding the brethren, and doing the things that it talks about, how that gains you salvation without teaching salvation by works? It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about entrance into the kingdom. Okay? Look, if you would, in 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they shall also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, in prison, or did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. Who's the least of these? Those that the angels have went and gathered up from the four corners of the earth. Israel. The brethren. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now listen, keep this in mind, and we'll pick this up next week. Those that have gone, that's going to go into the kingdom here, are those that are saved. They will be saved because they are promised eternal life going into this kingdom. Not only that, but we also have those that are cast into the lake of fire. And so we have those along with the beast. We're going to look at Revelation 19. Those with the beast and false prophet will be cast in the lake of fire. The Bible says this is a second death. And so we're going to look at that and study that a little bit this morning in the weeks to come. But now next week we're going to look at the parables as he stops and he looks between the kingdom coming and now that the present day in which we're in. We're going to look at some of those. Let's have a word of prayer if you would. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, lead, guide, and direct us as only you can. We ask you to speak to us this morning, dear Heavenly Father. We need you in each and everything we do. Be with all those, Lord, that's in the hospital, sick and unable to be here today, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for those that you've allowed to come back after the illness. We do pray that you'd be with us. Help us to preach Christ and him lifted up. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that there be one here lost and undone. They'd be drawn to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.